So what's it going to be? Yay or nay?
Let's find out off Mark Stevens, our AFL editor, who joins us in the studio. Hello, Steve-o.
G'day, Matty. Thanks for the tips and gamble responsibly, of course. But you know that if I get on board now, things will fall apart.
Well, that's true, because your form tipping of recent times has been rather disastrous. I tuned in on Friday. Obviously, I was away last week on holidays, but I made an effort to tune in on Friday because the Big V Multi is very important and we need to really get that going. And once I heard you tipping the Western Bulldogs, I just felt flat.
Yeah, well, I was confident. I almost went North and then just changed my mind at the last moment. So that didn't work out well. You backed a winner, didn't you?
No.
At least so last week I got it right.
I declared Uncommon James, so he just needed a little bit more luck in the straight. But at least my horse had a chance.
Yeah, well, Dogs should have been three or four up before half time, blew it. Set shot kicking again is a curse. I think it hurt Mikey's Mob Carlton too. Harry Mackay, gee. Seriously, a couple of bad misses in that game. So set shot kicking's never been more important, and probably it's a good topic. Has it ever been less reliable? We saw Shea Bolton drew one around the corner. Norton tried one around the corner. Harry Mackay doesn't know whether to go straight, around the corner, or anywhere. He needs to fix his kicking. Imagine how good Harry would be if he could start kicking straight.
Well, you go, Mike.
Oh, no, I do agree with that, Steve, but I was there live and I saw his work rate and it was incredible. The amount of work that Harry does.
They're not
up and
paying
down
him
the
to
ground.
Run 800 metre records. They're paying him to kick goals.
No, I get that, but he took Noah Bolter completely out of the game.
Yeah, but he's not a decoy either. He's there to be the main man. I know he did work hard and hopefully the rewards will
I thought
come.
He was good.
Yeah, but Melbourne set shots were a lot better, and in the end, that was a key part of the game. Speaking of Melbourne, can I go with some news?
Yes.
Simon Goodwin's done his presser on Zoom. I'm not sure why he does that on Zoom. I'm still looking for an answer there. Mm. They're the only club that do that. You know, we're not in the COVID era. No one's wearing masks. There's no isolation. So,
any suspicions why? Any hunches?
Potentially the Casey factor, that's easier, hard for journos to get to. And they're worried the journos won't turn up. But we'll find out. Mm. They're still doing that on Zoom. He was very interesting on the bump. He said, this is the strongest I've ever heard a coach. He said, the bump is dead, basically. He's telling his players just to tackle. Please don't bump under any circumstances. So that's pretty strong. That's a big change in the game. He said at the time he wouldn't ask Pickett to change the way he played game. He said that after.
He did.
But he said on reflection, he's looked at the bump and he's told everyone in general, don't bump. It's just not worth it. So don't expect Melbourne to be bumping anyone anytime soon.
That's really interesting, Steve-o, because you're right. He did make the comment after the game that he wouldn't say anything to Cozzy Pickett because he plays the game on the edge, and that's what they love about him. But clearly he's had a change of heart. So
well, he didn't speak to... Yeah, one-on-one he said, Cozzy, don't change. But he said as a group, which yep. Cozzy was involved in, they're saying don't bump.
Hmm.
So he's had a bet each way. So he has changed his mind a little bit. So that's a significant seismic shift, if you like, in the way that footy's played. I spoke to Half about it this morning, and he said that he couldn't really take the bump out of the game. He said that it's too much a part of footy, but that looks the way it's headed. Why can't we just tackle?
Well, the bump, the way that I look at it now, Steve-o, is that the bump is in the game, but if it's executed poorly, you just get ousted.
So
whereas in the
risk.
Past, you may have given away a free kick or just got away with it.
Yep.
So it's really up to the player to assess whether or not they think that it's worth the risk of tucking the shoulder in and electing to bump, and they've just got to live with the outcome.
Yeah, obviously the McAdam one looked bad too, didn't it? That's 5 o'clock tonight.
Did you think that the McAdam one was worse than the Pickett one, or did you think that they were similar
Probably
enough?
Probably similar. I'd suggest, and I said this yesterday, that I said Pickett should have gone to the tribunal. And I'm happy with McAdam to go. Mm. It's a chance for the AFL to make a statement and do what they want to do when it gets to that level. But obviously, Chris O's hamstrung by the boxes that he has to tick. And he also, the way he's looked at it is that it was considered severe impact for McAdam and in the end only high impact for Pickett. So you could hear this. He could hear the sound, apparently, the whack up at GWS. There wasn't a lot of people there, I've got to say. Very small crowd,
no.
But you could hear the whack. You hit that hard, Ware. So,
and that's probably where I sat on. And I thought the Pickett one could have easily gone to the tribunal. And if he had got 3 weeks, I wouldn't have really thought too much more about it. But I did think that the McAdam one had that little bit of extra venom in it with the way that Yeah, the explosion of when he hit the body and the thud. It was frightening. They both were, but that was
particularly. And in the middle of this, you've got to remember Cripps got off. Case of a high with a bump. So it's crazy, really, when you look back on what happened with Cripps. I know that Mikey's very content with that, but gee, that'll never
different
happen
actions,
again.
Though,
but he got him high. It was,
there's no doubt about that. And I found it quite ironic that last night on the couch, they were asking Patrick Cripps about the bumps, and he said the AFL was doing a lot of work to
completely
to stamp
actions,
them out.
Though,
but
boys.
Anyway, there was a touch of irony.
But the footy's. There's always twists and turns. Like Chris O, obviously, he's doing his best, but he's had a hard run at it. The two contentious ones are the sling tackle and the bump, and he's had them both in the opening weeks of the season.
If that Cripps incident happened this weekend in round two, what would happen, do you think?
Well, what did he get last year? Two?
2 weeks.
Yeah, well, two.
Same thing.
The AFL has said that will never happen again. Yeah. He only got off on a technicality where basically they were saying that the AFL prosecutor said a couple of wrong words. Mm. Didn't quite advise properly. Like, that's just ridiculous. I love Cripper, but gee, when you look back on it, absolute nonsense.
Doesn't make any sense.
And Gil McLaughlin obviously wasn't happy. So it was terrible.
0416905052. Let us know what you think. 1300 652 927. You can jump on and have a chat as well. Hey, Steve, just on the Demons before we leave them, they're on the front page and they're on the back page of the Herald Sun, but I'm a little bit interested in this story on the front page, which has bubbled away for a while with Glenn Bartlett and Kate Roffey and the angst between the club and the former president. But I did find the article today more interesting than probably some of the previous ones, with some of the things that Bartlett was admitting to Mark Robinson in that article.
Yeah, he's pretty relentless, Glenn Bartlett, and he's got a campaign, really. Of course, this is going to court, surrounding Goodwin and Roffey, and he was obviously removed. Yeah, and a lot of it centres around Simon Goodwin's alleged behavioural issues, where the commission and Gil McLaughlin supposedly were keeping an eye on him for 18 months. Now, Simon Goodwin was
asked... That's extraordinary.
Yeah, it is. A big claim. Simon Goodwin was asked about this twice over that Zoom presser, and he said, look, it's irrelevant. Glenn Bartlett's irrelevant. I've addressed it 2 years ago. It's not a factor for me. I'm more focused on Lachie Neale this week and the stoppages, but it just won't go away. Some of the inferences that Goodwin, gets up to no good at the Sorrento Hotel and has too many bets. I was actually with Goody a week ago at the Sorrento Hotel. You wouldn't meet a nicer person. I think you're allowed to surely have a couple of frothies and a couple of bets in the main bar every now and then.
Absolutely. So will this story go away? Because it just, like you say, it keeps bobbing its head.
Well, it's still got the court case to come. There's part two tomorrow. Robbo's got. So I know you're a Melbourne supporter that wants it to go away. I think, to be honest, I'm a journo and I love reading. I think it's starting to become a bit of a turnoff.
Yeah.
Do you think, from a media perspective, there's been that many articles on this that I don't think it'll get a huge amount of traction today? Mm. And, Goodwin shot it down. He didn't even want... there was inferences there about players and staff should be hair tested. In relation to drugs, and again, he shot that down today. So that's irrelevant. I'm not going there. So I don't want to give this story any oxygen. But Glenn Bartlett, gee, he's gone hard.
He certainly has, and that's why I thought there was a little bit more in the story today. But the previous few articles really put me to sleep.
But do you think it's would be damaging to the club at the moment?
Oh, not particularly. I don't think really too many people are caring too much about it, do you, Steve?
Goodwin signed a new contract. He's won
That's
a flag
right. since his debut.
So there's not a lot going wrong. And as I said, Simon Goodwin, my dealings with him personally, he would not be a better coach to deal with. Personable, relatable, normal, honest, open. And he's having a beer at the Sorrento Hotel. Good luck to him.
Yeah. Funnily enough, I think if the Demons' on-field performance over the last 18 months had gone down, this would be a much bigger story, and he may not even have a job. But the fact that they've won a premiership and they're, one of the favourites to win it this year, I think he's in a good spot, Simon Goodwin. Hey, Sean's text in, and as a result, this is in regards to Patrick Cripps, as a result of getting off last year, he's now a Brownlow medalist, although at least he did miss the finals. Some justice. you've got to love football being back in the passion,
Steve. It was, when you look back on it, it was crazy, the whole thing, but we move on. There's been some weird Brownlow and Chris Grant. I don't even want to raise that. He was rubbed out for 1 week his entire career, and that week cost him the 97 Brownlow. And you have to remember, Matty, this was probably well before your time. What happened in that one was that he was given the all clear, It went through the review process. They went to the umpires and they said, no, that's all clear. Ian Collins, the head of footy, said no. So he made a one-man stand Chris went up and copped a week. And, he lost the Brownlow. He polled about 8 more votes than Robert Harvey. So, interesting.
Costly one-week suspension. 0416905052. Let us know what you think. Cool your jets, Steve-O. This is a segment we're going to introduce on a Tuesday each and every week now, where something that's just been overhyped or oversold on a Monday, when on a Tuesday we wake up and go, I think that was just blown out of proportion a little bit. Is there something that you think we just need to cool our jets on this Tuesday?
It's a good question. Cool your jets. I think we've gone a bit hard on a couple of clubs. Hawthorn, I reckon. I know that they were poor, but I think they're on the right track with Sam Mitchell. I think Sydney will get them this week. I think that talking about, well, in particular, the number one draft pick, that's already a run race. So seriously, we need to cool it.
That is a great call. I saw that article as well. They're calling it the they called it on the weekend. Is it the Harley? What's his surname? Reed? Is it?
Yeah, Harley Reed.
Harley Reed Cup. Come on.
No, that's poor. We don't want that.
That's terrible.
I don't think the tanking is an issue these days. It used to be. There's no doubt there was a lot of... So that is ridiculous that we're talking about that. You got one, Matty?
Good call, your jets. I do have one. Just on the Hawks, before I give you mine, Steve-O. If that is the case, though, with Sam Mitchell, they are prepared to go the long road, develop young players. It's interesting in his press conference after the game on the weekend, you know, he said, our performance today didn't marry up with our pre-season. It's not what I expected. You know, it sounds like if they continue to play like that and the results are like that, he's going to be saying the same thing in a lot of press conferences.
Yeah, he's a confident, assured, presents well, so I think he'll get through it all right. Mm. They just need to be patient.
Well, they have to
There's not many A-graders left, is there? What about Luke Bruce? He's lost all his mates and still a gun player, but it's going to be hard. He won't get a lot of entries. How good would have he been as a top-up small forward? Like, I'm looking at the Bulldogs now. You got your tools. Add Bruce in there, maybe with a Waitman. You got a totally different, and the guy can kick straight, which is handy because a lot of guys at the kennel are spraying them everywhere at the moment. Mm. So, have you got one for me, Matt?
I do have one for you. I'm a little bit worried about this person, not so much worried about this club, but I still think we need to cool our jets, Steve-O. The talk around Nat Fyfe. He was front page on the West Australian on Monday morning yesterday. Is this the worst game that Nat Fyfe has ever played?
I'm happy to put the blowtorch on there. Like when you're at that level, it was abysmal.
Yeah, I understand that, but he's a dual Brownlow medalist and he's playing in a new role.
Can you imagine Cripper or the Bont or you know one of those guys dishing that up?
Would they play full
forward? Pendlebury?
Would they? You know, do you play them out of position?
Oh no, they'd find a way to get involved in the game. I just thought he didn't look right.
Don't worry, I'm a little bit worried about him and where he fits into Fremantle, but I just thought the severe criticism that was coming his way after one game probably just needs to cool our jets a little bit.
Yeah, there's been a lot of criticism. What about Adam Simpson? Is that a bit harsh, do you think? I was just doing the stats. I think he's lost...
Two of his last 27.
Yeah. That's not great.
No.
So should he be cooling... Should we be going harder on him?
Well, I think just the West Coast Eagles more broadly, Steve-O. I mean, clearly Adam Simpson... He's a premiership coach. He would have been in demand at some point over the last couple of years. We know he was courted by North Melbourne. Where are they at as a footy club? Because you look at their list, Steve, they've got a lot of older players still on their list. They've actually got a couple of A-graders, B-plus players on their list, but they're getting belted. Or they didn't get belted on the weekend, but their record over the last year or so is just terrible.
Terrible.
So how do they turn it around? Do they have to bottom out for a couple of years?
They almost have to bottom out and clean out. Well, they haven't reached the bottom yet. That's the issue. So at least Hawthorn have cleaned out. So they're carrying some players still. And it's not that long since 2018. It's not long ago when she'd whacked that goal through. Speared it through on from the left-hand pocket. That was just a dramatic game. I remember Jaden Stevenson kicked... couple in the first quarter. He kicked one just before quarter time to put Collingwood 5 goals up. At that stage, I reckon Stevenson was the best young player in the game. We're saying, wowee, how good's this bloke? That just shows you. And then Stevenson's had his troubles too. And
lot can change.
Things can change four and a bit years.
Oh, look at Collingwood. They've had their coach sacked. They've rebuilt. Now they're one of the premiership favourites again.
They are. What about Harry Sheasel? I think we probably went a little bit over the top in the love. Only a little bit.
He was pretty good.
Halfback flank. He's good. He's looked good all summer. But it's it's paid off because he's just signed a 2-year extension. So 2 plus 2 now. So he's guaranteed to be at North for the next 4 years.
I'm very happy for North Melbourne and their supporters because I think on the weekend it sold a lot of hope. They might lose the next 4 games, but seeing them on the weekend, they're in good hands. I think Alistair Clarkson is going to be a terrific coach for that footy club. And Luke Davies Uniac as well, Steve-O. I saw a statistic ranking points. So this is like super coach or ranking points. He's averaging the highest amount of ranking points of any player in the league since round 17 last year.
Yeah, it's a good sign. He's a good size, isn't he? So he's 188, I think about 85. A real beast of a player. The perfect modern footballer.
Game breaker.
He is a game breaker. Sort of Dugowie size. We had him on Breakfast with Half this morning. Did we get the big stars? Oh. We might have a big one too tomorrow.
Is that right?
I just can't say too much just yet. In fact, I've forgotten who it is, but I know Taylor Adams is coming into the studio.
Yep.
And we're also working on another one. A big Socceroo star, I think, by
big
the end of
Socceroo
the week.
Big Socceroo star.
Who would the most Socceroo star you'd like to talk to?
This is a good question. Who would be the Socceroo star I would most like to talk to?
He made a name in the World Cup and has just exploded now on the scene.
Okay.
I can't give too much away because I think it's only 99% locked in. But it might be Harry somebody.
Oh, okay.
In the Premier League now.
And Harry Kewell.
The big H.
Could be a chance. So, no.
Leicester are struggling.
he's getting plenty of
ball. Haven't gone too well since he's joined joined the Foxes.
I think Sheasel looks at Gunn. I think LDU is a good player, and they've still got Will Phillips to come through as well, a high draft pick. So North are looking all right.
Nick Larkey getting opportunities as well.
He's an underrated player. He was at Collingwood or Carlton, Richmond.
Oh, it's Nick Larkey.
He's about 24. Geez, a good player,
he's
Nick Larkey. Traditional footballer. You know, just a good footballer. He's a nice set shot at goal. He's good overhead. He fights hard. They'd be building a statue of him if he was at Collingwood.
Could he win the Coleman?
He could win the Coleman. The supply might dry up a bit, but
I think he'll kick a lot of goals.
He should kick his 50-odd. Mm. He's going to get more of it. So, good footballer.
Mm. Text has come through, Steve-O. Will Hawthorn want to get the spoon despite the lure of a superstar draft pick? They're a much prouder club than Carlton, for example.
Well, Carlton did. There were times there when they weren't trying too hard. The Cruiser Cup, remember that?
Yeah,
well, that was a long time ago.
Was that against the D's or the Tigers?
It was against the D's. They let Travis Johnson, I think, who'd been in hot form at that stage and tagged every week. He was Melbourne's electrifier. They let him have 53 touches. It worked well for Carlton.
Do you know what Travis Johnson does now, Steve?
No, do you know what he does? Real estate?
No, no. He works in the racing industry. He's one of the great jockey managers.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
He's a ripping bloke.
You know,
get him on.
He was a terrific kick. He had one of the best kicks in the AFL. Spear pass. Used to love that stab pass on the wing.
Should we get him on tomorrow?
That'd be a good get, wouldn't he? He actually presented the jumper to Bailey Laurie on the weekend down in the rooms.
There a bit of a rat bag in his time, Trav.
He was a little bit. Went to the Lions, had the big beard as well, big Max Gorn beard.
Good footballer. So, what do you think about Thursday night? We're on Carlton or Geelong. This is a huge game. Carlton wouldn't want to lose another one. I mean, really, then they're off the rails.
Carlton or Geelong on Thursday night? Well, I think you got to tip Geelong, but Carlton, they're not zipping too because they drew their first game, but it's a tough start to the year if they haven't picked up a win in the opening two rounds. This is Big V Racing. You're with Matt Nevitt and Mark Stevens on this Tuesday afternoon. Steve-O, this is another text that has come through before I let you go. Geelong have never been the Wooden Spooners. Hawthorn, next best, avoiding it since 1965. It's a long time to have avoided the spoon.
Credit to the Hawks. And you get the feeling they'll find a way to win some games.
Mm.
I'm not sure who... Well, North could still win it, you know.
Can I ask you, after Brett Ratten was sacked last year, Steve-O, he signed a 2-year deal halfway through the year and he was sacked at the end of the year. Do you think that means that this year, because there was a couple of coaches re-signed last year that still quite haven't cemented themselves as solid senior coaches with successful records. Should that make them a little bit more nervous heading into this year?
Yeah, because contracts in most cases aren't what they used to be. Adam Simpson, he's got 2 years plus this year, but many of the clauses now is just a 6-month payout. So it can happen earlier, as we saw with Brett Ratten. So I'm not sure what sort of payout Half got at Carlton. It can be a brutal business. So should stop winding half up.
Must have been pretty good. The clothes he's been wearing in here lately. He's got all the designer
seems
clothes.
Like a lot of money.
Yeah. Have they fixed up that window at Carlton, the merchandise shop yet, Mikey?
I'm not sure. I haven't been there.
Normally down there, hanging around the car park. But no, I think Carlton Geelong should be a crack. I think.
Any word on Jeremy Cameron's bub? When's it due? Could be due on Thursday.
Yes.
That might be a good
I know that you're hoping. Yeah, but it's due any time. They said between rounds one and two, so that's a good point, Mikey. It could happen in the next couple of days.
No Tom Stewart.
So what's the betting at TAB on that game? Because I would have...
Carlton's $2.45 when I checked last. Yep.
Carlton a value there. I think it's $1.90 each of two.
Probably won't get involved.
$2.45, the lines are 10.5.
What about this? The following night, Friday night, the lines are $2 and the D's are $1.80.
It should be the other way around.
Gee, they're going... Well, Brisbane, you think Brisbane should be favoured against Melbourne on Friday night?
Well, how often do Brisbane lose? Don't get ahead of yourself, Matty. How often do Brisbane lose at the Gabbatoir?
In a row, they were dismal round one.
They lost by 50 points to the D's late last year at the Gabba.
Yeah, I think Brisbane will beat Melbourne.
Melbourne get May, Viney, Fritch and Salem back this week.
Some of those will be under. I mean, Salem's been crook for about 8 weeks. He won't play. Surely. I'd be surprised if they brought him in. He lost a lot of weight with that thyroid issue.
Mm. But, no Cozzy Pickett?
Yeah, I think Brisbane are good things. Brisbane should start favourite in every game at the Gabba, I believe, just because of the way it is. Mm. So you think Melbourne...
Oh, I think they should be favourite, yeah.
Oh,
the Lions were terrible.
Yeah, they were, but...
I can only go off what I've seen.
But you'd rather play the Lions after a win. I'm a factor when I tip, like teams to bounce back. They've had the blowtorch on them this week. Fagan will be into them. Same as the Bulldogs, so I think they'll bounce back because Bevo won't accept that again against St Kilda. So I'm a bounce back type of punter.
All right, well, Chris Fagan will want to bounce back because a zip and two start to the year. He might be one of those coaches that I just mentioned, Steve-O, recent re-signing. You know, there's a few of them. Stewie Jew's another that just would want to get some wins on the board pretty quickly, I reckon. Travis Johnston manages Craig Froggy Newitt. There you go. That was someone on the text.
There you go. We need to get Trav on tomorrow. We can do a mix of footy and racing. It's the ideal Big V guest. In fact, he should be a regular.
I wonder what scarf he'll wear on Friday night. Would he wear a Lions or a Demons scarf?
I reckon a Demons.
Yeah, I think
he was a real... He loved Schwarter, didn't he? Schwarter and that when you get up to a bit of trouble in their time. Oh, yeah.
All right, Steve, last one before we let you go. Jason Horne-Francis or Harry Sheezel? Who's going to be the better player?
I've had a good look at both. I had a good look at Jason. I think it's a reasonably comfortable call. Jason Horne-Francis.
Oh, you're with the Hornet.
Oh, he looked amazing. The size of him. He's a brute. The thighs and the power. He's only just starting. He's got
9 coaches' votes too, I think.
Yeah, I think he's once in a generation. I think Sheezel's a great player, Sheezel. But he reminds me a bit of Nick Del Sando, Sheezel. He's a smooth mover, but is he going to be that game buster beast that the other bloke is? I'm not sure.
Speaking of the Coaches Association votes, did you see Asava Radigalia got 6 Coaches Association votes? Did you think he had a really good game?
Well, I suppose he played a role.
Yeah.
Might have been 5 from the
well,
the coach.
He must have got, I think it was 10 to the best on ground. So he must have got votes from both coaches. So.
Do you think that we underplay the Coaches Association votes? I think it's the best award in footy.
I find it fascinating. Every time the email comes through, I'm really interested. I am. To see who the coaches value as the most important player.
Yeah, I think it's underplayed. I think from a sponsorship point of view, it's probably underdone. And if I was a media executive, maybe Andrew Bensley's listening to this, I'd buy the exclusive rights and announce the coaches' award every week on a Monday and stagger it. Start it at midday and do one game every hour.
All right. Well, maybe all the
winning... Why would you stagger it for?
For impact. Okay.
Don't know if it holds that much.
From a Thursday night game, waiting 4 days, 5 days to hear the
just
results.
An idea. I think it's underplayed.
No, I agree. Because
you really, I mean, rather than the journo's votes and whatever, I think the journo, the list of the talent in the journalist ranks a bit thin as far as now. There's not many journos around.
Yeah.
You know, they do their best. A lot of them are just young guys starting out or young girls. So I think there's a lot more respect in the coaches' votes.
And I also like the 5-4-3-2-1 across 2 sets of votes as well. It just gives you a bit more of a deeper indication of who's played well.
So could RSN perhaps sponsor that?
All right. Well, we've just made money at Healesville in the last couple of races. So all of our winnings, we're going to back the winner in the next at Healesville, then just tip it into the Brett Scott All Up. And I reckon we would be able to afford... these rights, Steve-O, if we can do that. So we'll find the winner.
My other idea with the teams should be staggered release to give the teams more impact. Like on a Thursday night, they drop about six matches at once. Mm. I would stagger them from 1 p.m. until 6. Every hour, tune in for the exclusive
Before
team.
Before you go, Steve, I want to bring this up. You tweeted this last week. I don't know if you spoke about it that much, but you mentioned that the sub should be named in the team. I agree. I can't understand for the life of me why it's not named.
Yeah.
Is it a tactical? I don't think one player.
I think the AFL's just overlooked it. I think it's lazy. I think it's missed opportunity for information for not only the fan, the punter, the super coach person. The sub should be on a bench of 5.
Yep.
And you work out who's going to be the sub. Mm. To come from the emergency is a lost opportunity from the AFL, and I think maybe they've just overlooked it.
Well, when the old sub was in 5 years ago, whenever it was, that is exactly what happened. It was you named your 4 players on the bench, and one of those was the sub.
Yeah.
And that's how it should be. They should name 5 on the interchange, and 1 should be the sub.
I think that's just an oversight. Can we fix that, Mike?
We have to fix it.
Surely that can be fixed. The AFL has the capacity to make a change like
They're
that.
They're fairly proud, fairly stubborn. To make a change after round one would be unusual, but I'm not sure how much thought they've put into that.
Because with 24 hours to go, within 12 hours on your Twitter, you're going to know who's going to be the sub. Just announce it.
Yeah,
takes all the guessing game out of it.
It's a nightmare for fantasy players as well. And, you know, I know that's not overly important for everyone, but I don't see how the positives of it outweigh the negatives.
Yeah, and I think the coaches have been lacked imagination once again with the use of the sub. You've got it there, but perhaps use it tactically. They wait till 3/4 time. Let's do it now.
So what do you meant to do? You reckon just pull someone off after a quarter if they've been a bit quiet?
Well, try something different. Oh, let's do it at 3/4 time. He's a bit tight. Like, how stodgy, how predictable. You know, if you want to change the course of a game, something's not working, do it halfway through.
What about if you sub someone off within 2 minutes, someone is injured, should you be able to bring that sub back on?
No, I think it's once. No,
that's the call you make, yeah.
But 3/4 time is boring.
It is boring, but you'd probably happily make a boring sub if you haven't had any injuries.
It's hard for the sub to have an impact, too, I noticed, on the weekend.
Definitely.
Not many came on and got straight into the game. It's a very tough job. People think you're going to come on fresh and have your 12 touches. Some of the players, like, yeah, Toby McLean, who's been in great form, really couldn't get near it. Mm. Lockie O'Brien, we saw what happened when
Jack Melksham came on, kicked a goal within 10 seconds.
Yep.
So I thought he was quite a good sub.
That was a good sub. Lockie O'Brien,
Perfect sub. Yeah. Impact player. Plays a quarter.
Tipper had an impact.
Yep.
But it's hard to switch on, sort of come on and get into the flow of the game. You've been sitting there for 3/4. It's a terrible position to play.
Mm. Totally agree. Steve, I love your work as always, mate. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Hopefully there'll be 3 of us in here. And Matty Stewart is over his back complaint, which has kept him out of action today.
Beautiful. Let's get Trav on.
It's our Travis Johnston. We'll do our best. I think I may have tried before, but we'll do our best. There's our AFL editor, Mark Stevens. This is Big V Racing.